This is Melange à deux, a Vienna podcast. Herzlich willkommen. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Melange à deux. I am Frau Batsby with Herr X. Say hello.
Hello.
This is episode 10, titled The Viennese Falcon. Falcon? It's supposed to be a play on Maltese Falcon.
Or I thought it was the Millennial Falcon.
No. Oh. No, I'm not. I don't swing that way. I wanted to shout out all the countries listening to this podcast because I looked at our analytics. Do you want to hear them?
Yeah.
All right. So we got Austria, USA, Canada, Germany, Switzerland, Australia, Romania, United Kingdom, Spain, Hungary, Mauritius, Qatar, Morocco, Taiwan, Denmark, South Africa, Greece, Turkey, Russia, Italy, Latvia, France, Portugal, and Norway. 24 countries.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed there's no Liechtenstein.
Yeah, you would think it would be in there.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Luxembourg and Liechtenstein.
Who's having a
great... I always confuse.
Yeah. You won't once we visit. We'll take a train through Liechtenstein. It takes about 2 minutes.
All right. Yeah. Two minutes to cross?
Yeah, it's tiny.
All right, I saw it really quickly.
Yeah, whoever's in Mauritius, I hope you're having a great time. I'm so jealous.
Oh, yeah, right now it's there's some in peak summertime.
Yeah.
And, well, it's always pretty warm.
I was going to say, I have never seen snow. So thanks again, everybody, for listening. Really, really appreciate it. We're having a good time. I also wanted to say that what are we doing in 2 weeks? We're going to the...
What? To the science pool.
Oh, good. I'm glad you remember.
Oh, no, this is a test.
This is a test. So I've got my dress, and it's Barbenheimer, because it's got gray at the bottom and pink glitter everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
My theme is perimenopausal Barbie.
I don't have a theme. I have my tuxedo that I wear.
Yeah, you gotta get that cleaned.
I do have to get it dry cleaned.
What else? Oh, we went to the Vivaldi concert in the Karlskirche last weekend.
Which was great.
It was in
a Kirche, for those who do not know German, is a church.
And I just hinted enough that I wanted to go to that concert.
Several times. We passed by the church and she's like, you know, they have a Vivaldi concert. You know, they have a Vivaldi. And I was like, okay, I'm getting the hint now.
It's 5 years later. that's also where Hedy Lamarr got married.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great concert. They played original instruments.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Baroque time.
And we were told to dress really warmly because, it gets pretty cold in the church, but the seats were heated.
So hot. It was so hot, I think I have a yeast infection.
We weren't sure if it was because we were the only Jew and Muslim in there. Maybe like we're burning in the church. Right,
yeah. Maybe the seats weren't heated. Maybe it was all a figment of our imagination.
We were the two heathens sitting in the church.
It's a beautiful church. No, that was a really lovely evening, besides the hot flashes. Also, I forgot to mention in the... previous episode of about The Sound of Music, Maria von Trapp, the real lady, is actually in the movie. There's a split second where she walks by. You wouldn't notice it unless you knew to look for it, but I found that out after we recorded. So the other day I was in Cafe Savoy,
mm-hmm.
and I was talking to a friend, and I was mentioning the podcast and how I feel like it's really important to understand Vienna is to understand its people.
Right.
The historical figures, and kind of gives you a vibe to understanding this place more.
Definitely.
And then as I'm thinking I'm still a very Canadian person, a group of American tourists walked in and I loudly went, oh no.
I think that's when you know you've become totally acclimated to Vienna.
I have assimilated.
When North Americans come walking in and you're like, oh no.
Oh no.
It's going to be really loud.
Mm. Yeah, so I thought that was, I couldn't believe and I was annoying. I was just like,
well,
oh,
it's funny
no.
because I remember before I came to Austria that, you know, whenever I'd see Europeans when I was living in New York, and I'm like, they're so dull and quiet, you know? So, like, it depends how you see it.
Yeah, and across the streets at the light. Yeah, now you're doing it. I've made you do it.
Oh, no. I used to just look at them like, almost like wildlife, like, because they just sit there standing and, you know, there's no traffic, there's no cars coming and they're just standing.
They're just following the rules.
Yeah.
But
those are mostly Germans, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I don't know why I randomly put this note in. I said, I love our district. Must have been working on the script, and I was just
Well,
like,
it probably has to do with Savoy. Café Savoy has been amazing.
yeah. And also Rüdiger Hof. But my favorite was we were walking the dog Morty the other day, and the street cleaner was like, "Good morning."
Yeah. No, people are really nice. Even if I go out for a run early in the morning, you know, like people are very friendly.
You haven't been shivved yet.
Not yet.
Also, one thing we did notice about this district, no birds.
Yeah, so it's kind of disconcerting because I was like, have you noticed that there are no, because there was something about,
It was kiddo's cookie, and he wanted to bring it on the bus, but I wouldn't let him. So I just put it in a planter because I was like, oh, the birds will eat that. And it was still there.
And then we're like, wait a minute, we've never seen birds.
We've never seen birds in this area.
Which is really disconcerting. Okay, I will try to look it up
We're gonna
and see what
bird watch
happens.
2024. So, that's it for now. I think we're caught up on what's happening. I'm gonna list the sources for this. This is about Falco, the Viennese musician, criminally underrated, by the way. Our sources include Wikipedia, Wiener Bezirksblatt.at, SplendidFredMagazine.com. Title of the article: "Scandal Calling: The Story of Falco, Austria's Biggest Pop Star" by Jacob Wingate Bishop. History.com, vinylwriters.com, their article, A Mad and Exalted Genius. 1000things.at, which also is an amazing Instagram page. I highly recommend looking at it. Courier.at and Spiegel.de. So those are the sources. Most of the things I found were in German, so that was a fun exercise in practicing my German. So what songs do you know of Falco?
I know Vienna Calling. I know what was that one that we were just I was just playing.
Der Kommissar and
Yeah.
Amadeus.
I only knew really the English version, which was not done by Falco, but
Yeah.
Falco licensed to some group called After the Fire. No, generally, and Rock Me Amadeus, of
Yeah,
course.
which is great.
Yeah, those were the ones that kind of, well, yeah, I think those are the only three. Well, Vienna Calling, I only later listened to, but when I was a kid, it was Rock Me Amadeus and Commissar.
Yeah, alles klar, Kommissar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of the same for me. The only song I really knew of back in the day was Amadeus. And when I moved here in the 90s, the song had been out for a few years, but it was, it got me excited to move to Vienna. My dad was playing it on the radio, or he wasn't playing it. It was on the radio when I was with my dad, and I remember he thought, oh, we're moving to Vienna. This is a great song. And then when I moved back to Vienna in 2004, someone mentioned Falco, and I scoffed and was like, whatever. And then Mea culpa. A couple years later, I was like, this man's a genius. And I am very sorry to whoever I laughed at when they mentioned Falco being a good musician. It's kind of like when we saw that poster for Only Murders in the Building, and I was like, oh, I love Steve Martin and Martin Short. And then I got mad that Selena Gomez was in it.
Yeah.
And then after watching a few episodes, I was like, I will die for Selena Gomez. So Falco is described as the godfather of white rap in some cases. And his genre is kind of rap, pop, and new wave.
I never really thought about that because, in Rock Me Amadeus, he kind of goes into this.
Yeah, he has like rap, and his music does change over time. There's different levels to it, but yeah, he definitely is. I like the idea, or I like the term "godfather to white rap." And also in Europe, hip hop and rap was not a big thing. So let's get into Falco. Falco, his birth name was Johannes Hultzel. He was born February 19th, 1957, in Vienna. His parents were Alois and Maria Hultzel. Quote, Maria would later recall that she had been pregnant with triplets, as it was I can't say this word, dizygotic pregnancy. She miscarried the identical twins during the third month, and Falco, who was conceived via a separate ovum, survived. Falco mused that, quote, three souls in one breast sounds a little overdramatic, but I do sense them sometimes. In my moodiness, I'll be really up, and then right after, I'll be really down.
Oh, okay, it's another way to say
Yeah,
bipolar,
but I mean, it could be,
no,
but
but it's
I.
really interesting. Yeah, so
Yeah.
he was sharing with two others.
Yeah.
Wait, maybe there was a violent streak when he was really young.
When he was a fetus.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting, and I think that Because even if there's no scientific basis for it, I think knowing that as you grow up must take some toll on your mental health. I always think about my big fat Greek wedding, the aunt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What did she say?
It was my unborn twin.
Twin with teeth and hair. So Falco grew up on Ziegelofengasse 26 in the 5th District. We walked by it the other night. Mm-hmm. He first attended a Roman Catholic school, but then he attended the Rheine Gymnasium, which isn't that far from where I used to live in the 4th District. His father left the family when he was a young child. It's obviously Falco's fault.
Oh, definitely.
That's why, yeah. From very early on, it became very apparent that he was an incredibly talented musician, because he's Viennese. Quote, as a toddler, he was able to keep time with the drum beat in songs he heard on the radio. He was given a child's grand piano for his 4th birthday. A year later, his birthday gift was a record player, which he used to play music by Elvis Presley, Cliff Richard, and the Beatles. Mm. Yeah, so he was obviously very talented. And then when he was 16, he attended the Conservatory of Vienna for music, but he dropped out a year later, which seems to be, that's kind of like Sheila as well. Like people, these talented artists go in, but I think it's too stringent for them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you have talent, and then if you're, after a while, it's like learning what certain cases are in English when you already speak English. And then you're probably like, why am I learning the fundamentals of things? That's the way I see it.
Yeah, have you heard my grammar?
You speak English good.
Yeah, I remember when I was in Juilliard. we were making fun of Juilliard that one time in that lovely...
In front of a lady who went to Juilliard?
She's like, I think this is the moment where I should say I went to Juilliard. Juilliard's an amazing school. We were making fun of, I think, the movie Fame. Okay, so then after he dropped out, he had a short-term apprenticeship at the Austrian government pension company after his mother told him to get a job, but he quit that too. At 17, he did his 8 months of compulsory military service, which continues to this day.
8 months only? I thought it was a year.
Now it's 8 months. I mean, I thought it was a year as well when he was serving, but now
it's 8 months. It's probably like... August and December definitely are out for vacations, yeah. Right?
Yeah. No, it is. Now I know it's about 8 months. They've shortened it, but yeah.
Well, it's like when Batling almost got drafted into the...
Okay, yeah. So for people who don't know the story, my son was born. His father put the wrong birth year in for the birth certificate. So Batling is about 2 weeks old. The doorbell rings. I pick up the... receiver, whatever. And I go, yes. And they go, this is Austria Post. We have a letter for your son. And I was like, okay, you can bring it upstairs. And they're like, no, he has to sign for it. And I remember thinking, I should read more on baby development, because if they can sign for things at 2 weeks old, I am very unprepared. And then his father had to go and pick up the letter. And it turned out he was being enlisted for the army. And everybody in the post office laughed. And it was even in the newspapers, but we were not mentioned at all. Still mad. And then part of me was like, free daycare. Maybe like baby colonel. All right, so back to Falco. Quote, he played bass guitar in a number of bands under various pseudonyms, including John Hudson and John D. Falco. One such band with whom he appeared was Dra Di Wabel, an Austrian group that employed shock tactics and stage antics. Now, I don't know what shock tactics would be for an Austrian band. I'm thinking they all crossed on a red light.
Probably, or they just showed up like 3 minutes late.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Everybody's waiting for them. They're like, this is outrageous. We waited 5 minutes. Back to the quote. It was around this time he began performing under the stage name of Falco. Despite being closely tied with the Viennese underground club scene, Falco looked uncharacteristically clean cut. In contrast to shabbier fashions, he had short hair due to his military service and wore Ray-Ban sunglasses and suits. His distinct style coupled with his singing performance of the song, quote, Ganz Wien, all of Vienna, led to manager Marcus Spiegel offering to sign Falco in 1981. Ironically, it was at a concert for drug prevention, and the song Ganz Wien has a line proclaiming, all Vienna is on heroin today.
That's an interesting line.
So, end quote. Once Falco was a single artist, he recorded his first album called Einzelhaft, which means solitary. The song that gained European attention on that album was Der Kommissar. It wasn't until it was covered in English did it gain more international attention. But otherwise, it was mainly popular in the German-speaking countries. The next album was Junge Roma. I can't say that word. Young Roman. Again, it wasn't a huge hit abroad. It wasn't until his third album, called Falco 3, did he make it big in America. The hit, Rock Me Amadeus. Mm-hmm. And it was inspired by the film, and it charted internationally, and it continues to be a huge hit. What's funny about Rock Me Amadeus was that he wrote the song after the film had come out. I used to think that he was hired by the film to write something.
Was it like a soundtrack for the film?
No.
Okay.
But if you watch the music video, it looks like it could have been because it's like...
Ah, okay.
And then what I like so much about Rock Me Amadeus is that he kind of describes Mozart as being like a rock star. And he was so popular, but, you know, he had problems with women and...
Money.
Which, you know, true. Another hit on the album Falco 3 was Vienna Calling, which has Toronto, Canada. And that video is very 80s.
Yeah, it's very cool.
That also hit number 18 on the U.S. billboards. A third song, Jenny, was only popular in a few countries. And I love the song very much, but it's deemed too controversial by many people. Mm. A lot of radio DJs at the time would not play it because it's from the point of view of a rapist and possible murderer.
Oh,
he locks away a girl called Jenny. It's the melody's pretty.
I'm sure the melody is nice, but he's like, stop knocking so much. No one can hear you. I think that's what he says, though. Well, now I have to.
Now I have to listen to the lyrics again. But I think it's a pretty song. And then, so do you remember the story of Natasha Kampusch? I've told you about this woman. She was like 10 or 11 walking to school, and she got kidnapped by a stranger.
Yeah.
And then he kept her like in the basement. Mm-hmm. And then she was able to escape. And it's crazy because I think she was 18 or 19 when she escaped. And I was living in Vienna when it happened a few years ago. And it was nuts because there were some people who were like, well, she speaks so well now because she came from kind of a working class Austrian family, Viennese family. And this guy who had kidnapped her, I guess, taught her like Hochdeutsch.
Listen, there are different ways for social mobility. It's basically what they were implying.
It's like a really messed up version of My Fair Lady.
I mean, Pretty Woman is kind of problematic when you see
it. It's incredibly problematic. I can't watch Pretty Woman. I know. Mom and Dad, and how'd you guys meet? Wow. Fun story. But yeah.
She wouldn't kiss me on the first day.
She's a lady. Aw, tell the story again. And your friend tried to, okay. My favorite part is when she goes into the store and says, big mistake, huge. Anyway, so Natasha Kampusch, very serious story. She ended up escaping because she was washing his car and he had to go take a phone call. And so she dropped the stuff, ran to the neighbors, and they got the police. And it was such a huge story here because everyone had assumed she was
dead.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't know she'd been missing for like 8-9 years because in the news they're like, oh, the mother is flying back from her vacation, and I thought she had just been kidnapped, and I was like, what mother goes on vacation when her child's been kidnapped? But then it makes sense. And
but was it August? I mean, maybe
it was the summer.
It was the summer
because I think before they released any pictures of her, she met with a psychologist and they went for ice cream.
Yeah,
I guess they wanted her to have a little normalcy before she became very, very famous. My favorite also is when she had a short-lived, talk show, and she had Niki Lauda as a guest, and she was talking about his tragedy with his, like, accident.
I mean, the accident, yeah,
and
the burns.
She was like, that must have been so traumatic, and he was like, well, I don't know if as traumatic as your situation. So anyway, the long story short of Natasha Kampusch, when she escaped, they stopped playing the song Jenny for a little while on the radio, just out of respect. So back to Falco. So he went on to create more albums, but internationally, Falco 3 was the most successful one. He did do a tour in Japan. They loved him there. And apparently one night he had a panic attack at one of his Japanese concerts because when he looked out, everybody was dressed like him. They were all like slick back hair and sunglasses, and he had like a complete panic attack. So, quote, Falco suffered heavily from the effects of addiction when alcohol and cocaine were behind his increasingly unpredictable behavior. He was a keen womanizer and can prove abusive in the studio. Even when producers Boland and Boland tried to convince him sobriety was the answer, though those close to him would later maintain that the man held a deep insecurity, scared that someday he would be unmasked on the outside. Falco seemed the epitome of cool, even jokingly confessing to his vices in various appearances throughout his career. So he had imposter syndrome. And I think when you also have addiction, it feeds into the paranoia.
Right. That's a shame.
Yeah. He continued to have incredible success in Austria. His cocaine use and alcohol use definitely fed into his insecurities. He was volatile, egocentric, ambitious, and caring. In short, a tortured artist. His music videos are also very epic. There's the Wiener Blut one, where the dancers are wearing those Billa jackets.
Yeah. I saw that.
The woman who you thought was a fake Princess Diana, I think that was actually his wife and his kid in that video.
I think every blonde looked like Princess Diana back then.
They all dressed like that. Yeah. They all had that look.
I mean, Brigitte Nielsen.
Yeah.
Even Brigitte Nielsen kind of, right? It was always
Well, he recorded a song with her.
Shoulder pads, short hair. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the look.
Yeah. But yeah, Falco actually did record a song with Brigitte Nielsen.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it was maybe at the time she was dating Flavor Flav. Who knows?
Now, that would have been great if Flavor Flav was in the back and Chuck D and then Public Enemy crossover.
Yes.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy. Amadeus. So in the mid-80s, Falco met a musician named Isabella. Quote, while Falco was in a relationship with Isabella Vitkovic, she gave birth to a baby girl called Katerina in 1986. The couple got married in 1988. They eloped to Las Vegas, a quick chapel wedding. But it was a love-hate relationship. As Katerina, the daughter, describes it, and the marriage was short-lived. There was a lot of drinking and fighting, and it was a total mess. Falco believed that Katerina was his own daughter until a paternity test proved otherwise when she was 7 years old. After this, Katerina's relationship with him became strained. Though they kept in contact, she took her mother's surname and claimed that she was written out of his will. When she was 12 years old, she was 12 years old when he died. She did not reconcile with Falco's mother, Maria Hutzel, until a few years before her death at the age of 87 in April 2014. Katerina subsequently published a memoir in 2008 called Falco war mein Vater. Falco was my father, end quote. So that just destroyed him.
Yeah.
And he didn't apparently have any other kids. So then around this time in the 90s, his career has become very stagnant and he's left Austria. So, quote, since 1990, Falco was living in the tropical heat of the Dominican Republic, something the Austrian papers took a liking to when the issue of tax and the singer's finances came up.
I'm assuming Dominican Republic's tax rate is much less than the Austrian one.
I think so. The matter came up time and time again in a series of interviews Falco took part in over the years with German late-night host Harald Schmidt, who's kind of like the German David Letterman. While the singer maintained he was not bankrupt by the mid-90s, he led on that every rumor had some truth in it. By his next appearance on the show, he announced his situation was, quote, horrible, horrible. All the while he was bombarded by the media, it seemed Falco had a love-hate relationship with the Austrian press, one that most assertedly favored the latter. Quote, they have a very ambiguous relationship with me. I can do whatever I want, but nothing is good. End quote. It was also in the Dominican Republic where Falco was working on his seventh album, and if things turned out well, his second to ever break the US and UK market. He felt the world was ready for another Falco 3. Another slew of Rock Me Amadeus and the kind of publicity Jenny brought, only without the criticism. It was to be titled, perhaps prophetically, Out of the Dark, Into the Light. Amidst his addiction while he was working on this album, he was incredibly obsessive about it. He kept removing songs, putting things in. He was just such a perfectionist when it came to his work. On 6 February 1998, his Mitsubishi Pajero collided with a bus on the road linking the towns via Montelano and Puerto Plata in the Dominican Republic. He was only 40 years old when he died.
40?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was just a few days before his birthday. So it's actually the anniversary was a couple days ago of his death. As I said, at the time of his death, he was planning a comeback, which was actually incredibly successful. It was released after his death, Out of the Dark into the Light. The song of, like, Out of the Dark is a very beautiful song. And my favorite song of all time, Egoist, is on it.
Hmm.
Or Egoist. It's a fantastic song. So Austria was very much mourned his death. They were devastated because he was kind of their Viennese son. And I think if you listen to his songs, you can see that he was very talented and very, you know, he always felt like he was in on a joke if you watch the videos and you watch him talking. And these are a couple of
also Schwarzenegger is that way too.
Yeah. I think it's the Schme. It's the Schme.
We still have a hard time translating, right?
It's a type of humor. It's a sarcasm mixed in.
Yeah.
I think you don't realize you know it until you've lived here for a while.
Well, what was the thing when we were at the restaurant that Falco would
frequent? We'll talk about it in a minute.
Ah, okay. No, no.
You're skipping ahead.
But there's a bit of schme coming.
Oh, there was so much schme. So these are a couple of Falco's quotes. If Mozart was born today, he'd be a rock and roll star, not a classical musician.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one I like a lot. Loneliness is being mentioned in the newspapers.
Hmm. Wow.
That's pretty deep.
Yeah.
So you okay with your lips?
No, it's the beard. But that's, it's partially true.
Yeah, but I guess his fame is a terrible thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or else he was so coked out, he has no idea what he was saying. I'm just pretending that it's a genius.
I was going to say the exact opposite of what it is.
So Lauda was actually friends with Falco, and he named one of his Boeing planes in his fleet after him.
Hmm.
Because Niki Lauda had an airline.
Yeah.
What was the commercial that we thought, the jingle?
Oh, definitely, the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
Just Niki. Lauda!
Lauda!
Turn up the stereo.
Lauda! And then what was the one for Bebe, the train company?
Ooh, Bebe.
We should have an advertising firm.
We should. It would involve Salt and Pepper and Black Eyed Peas.
Yes, everything from the 90s. So that is the tragic end of Johannes Hutzel Falco. I can't believe he was only 40. I thought he was much older. I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, when we were kids, like anybody who was like around 40 was like ancient. Seemed to be 85.
Yeah. And now we're in our 40s.
Oh.
And loving it.
And loving it,
through
yes.
the back pain. So, Falco in Vienna. So this is kind of, if you want to do a falcrimage. I'm very proud of that word. If you want to do a little pilgrimage for Falco. He's buried in the Vienna Central Cemetery.
Mm.
So you can
take the 71.
Take the 71. What's that quote that you heard?
What was it? Like, no, if somebody was on his way to dying,
yeah.
It was like, he's on the 71.
Yeah. Because the 71 tram takes you directly to the Central Cemetery.
What's the other thing about the cemetery?
Oh, it's twice.
No, half the size of Zurich, half but the twice size as fun.
Yes, thank you. Is that from The Third Man, I think? Another thing is there's a restaurant outside of Vienna, like in a suburb, called Machfelderhof, and it was one of Falco's favorite restaurants. We really should go. It's really cool inside. They have a table that is permanently reserved for him, which is very, it made me emotional, but I thought that was lovely. In the 80s, he actually bought a Jugendstil villa where he would go to kind of detox when he was having his alcohol cocaine issues. Guess where this villa is?
I'm guessing it's across.
It's outside of Vienna.
It's outside of Vienna. Where is it? I don't know.
Garzamkamp.
Oh. It's a place that's dead to us.
Dead to us. We had a horrible New Year time. It was almost exactly a year ago.
I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then we drove up and it was all foggy.
And we got an Airbnb, which I misunderstood what they said. I thought we'd have our own little house, but it was kind of an apartment. It was a nightmare.
It was a nightmare.
Horrible.
Yeah, we need an episode to discuss Garzamkamp.
Yeah, we can do that. I think I wrote a blog post last year about it, but we can discuss it again. So apparently,
write a book called Mein Garzamkamp.
Oh, yes, totally not inappropriate at all. Yeah, so this villa apparently is still there and it remains untouched. So I don't know what's happening with that villa, but I mean, if we had known, we would have gone and broken in. So he was also known to hang out at clubs like Ufia, which I've been to. I think it's been renamed, and the Ufia is actually just off of the Ufia, yeah. Uban, and Motto. Also, another one of his restaurants was some Altafasola. Did you let the computer...
Yeah, but it's not a problem.
Not a problem. So we went to this restaurant on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And so it's an old Beisel, which is like a kind of a typical Austrian restaurant. And he lived above it where he wrote Der Kommissar. So there's a little placard that says that. Mm-hmm. How much did we love this restaurant?
Oh, it was by far probably one of the best places to get traditional Austrian food.
It was great.
It was really good. Actually, at work, I've been talking to people about
Stop telling people about our favorite places. I'm going to get mad.
Yeah, that's true. Then nobody will go there anymore. It's too crowded.
It's too crowded. It's too popular. Yeah, so you ordered the deer.
Yeah.
And after the waiter took our plates, what did he say to us?
He says, "We hope this met your high expectations."
Such a snarky...
But that's the schmee.
And he was lovely, though. He was so friendly. Yeah.
He found it really delightful. It was really nice. Although the guy really, you know, because my restaurant's German, is still not there. So he spoke to me in English, and no, it was really, really nice.
And then we got the dessert variation, which had like different things. So you took a bite, and you go, "Oh my God, this is the warmest ice cream you'll ever have."
First of all, okay, look, there's
context. And I was like, it's mousse.
There is context, because I said, "Oh, well, what are all these things?" So you pointed to different things, and you said, "That's ice cream." So I
this is the warmest ice cream.
The warmest ice cream.
You'll ever have in your life. And I was like, it's mousse. Amazing.
I just say what's on my mind.
You do. Yeah. That's worrying.
It is a problem sometimes.
So yeah, I love that place. We're definitely going to go back there. We now have like our three or four favorite places that we're just sticking to.
Yeah.
We've become full Viennese. Also, okay, so there's that place. I do recommend checking it out. It is pretty cool. And it's actually, he got an apartment in this old building. I think it's from the 1700s, because he grew up actually across the street in kind of a public housing place. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure he bought it for some reason or moved there, I think, close to his childhood home, but, you know.
By the way, if this podcast starts taking off, I mean, we're going to have to start charging for these types of mentions.
Okay.
You know? Brought to you by Zum Alten Fass.
Yeah,
have you tried to get really good Austrian food but couldn't find one? Yeah. Go to.
No, they were booked. They were so, like, we were lucky we got a table. Everything was reserved. And everybody was Austrian in there.
No, the key is you got to walk in like you really deserve to be in there.
Okay.
That's what I do.
All right. And then they're like, "We have no tables for you."
I'm like, no, I deserve to be here. And they'll be like, "Oh, no, of course."
Of course. No, that was amazing. Another Falco thing is also the Falco Stiege, which is like the sign right by our exit at the U-Bahn, at mm-hmm. Fährgasse exit, at Kettenbrückengasse. And yeah, Bathund always walks by there, does potty in that area.
That's where, yes.
Yeah,
he really does enjoy leaving deposits there.
But this is the 5th district was Falco's neighborhood, his place where he grew up. So in terms of his legacy, he sold an estimated 60 million records worldwide.
Wow.
Yeah. Also in The Simpsons, an old episode, there's a split second mention of Falco. So I guess it's some award show and there's a guy on a synthesizer and he just does a couple of end notes and they're like, "And that was our tribute to Falco."
And fun fact, the night we met, you actually mentioned Falco, and I'm like, I don't even know who he is.
Wow, really?
Yes.
So we talked about hummus?
Yes.
Falco?
Countless other things.
Yeah.
And 90s hip-hop.
Yes, that's true. That too. So I had to bring in Falco, because he was the godfather of white rap.
Yeah, because and then I think that was one of your surprising, "You don't know Falco?" I was like, and then you told me the songs, and I was like, yes, of course I know him.
Of course. Also, there's the Falco musical that's playing. That's called Verdammt, wir leben noch. Damn it, we're still alive. Oh, no, sorry, I lied. That's the film. There was a film in 2008 that came out called that. The musical show about Falco is called Rock Me Amadeus. But the film, I do recommend it. It's in German, but the actor who plays Falco does an incredible way of doing his accent, because Falco had a very Fifth District, Meidling District accent. It's really interesting to see how this actor does it. It's amazing.
But Falco, the Fifth is has the Meidling accent?
Yeah, because it's right beside Meidling. It's kind of, I mean, the Fifth District now has changed a lot from what it used to be. It was definitely more of like a worker class district, and then it's kind of expanded out to the Meidlinger area. Mm-hmm. And now this has become our very LGBTQ, did I say BQ?
LGBTQIA.
Yes.
XYZ.
XYZ, no. It's LGBTQIA. And then in Canada, there's two S for the two spirits, which I think is pretty cool. Remember we read about that?
Yeah, each country now has their own different one.
Yeah.
Two S,
the two spirits.
Oh, for the native, First Nations.
First Nations. I do recommend the movie. I do want to see that musical one day. It looks like it's fun. Since his death, his managers have actually had some of his more albums come out. So he's kind of like the Austrian Tupac.
The Austrian Tupac.
Well, you know how Tupac had like all this music that came out after he passed?
What was the famous saying, dead rappers get better promotion?
Yeah. So that's pretty much what happened. Yeah. And I think there's the rumor that Tupac lives in the Dominican Republic where Falco died. I just cracked it. He's with Biggie too.
And Biggie.
My God, it cracked the code. Could you imagine the three
that
of them?
That would be, now, I mean, there are super groups, but can you imagine? Ladies and gentlemen, you thought they were dead.
Oh my gosh, yes, that would be amazing.
I mean, that would be front page news.
I think that would be front page news for the next like 60 years.
Where were you the day you found out?
Tupac, Biggie, and Falco recorded an album. Oh, I do want that to happen. Amazing. All right, as I choke. That about wraps it up, I think, for Falco. It was a little bit hard to do the research because a lot of the stuff was in German, and while I can read German, I think maybe sometimes I miss some of the schmay and the jokes, but he's a very complicated, interesting person, and I would like our next generation, Gen Z, to discover Falco, primarily speaking to my two nieces who are in the cool teenage years.
Listen, they don't even know who George Clooney is.
I know. My sister told me that, and I like almost cried. Yeah. Her daughter didn't know George Clooney.
You know, we're going to be at that phase where we'll be like, you know, that reminds me of Yul Brynner.
Yul Brynner. He was great.
A young Yul Brynner.
Oh, that's scary. But yeah, I've been listening to so much Falco the last week. I love him. I'm sorry. I don't love him. I love him like a friend.
You cannot, I guess it doesn't translate to podcasting. I'm just shaking
his head madly. Okay, well, that's it for now. We'll be back next week with another topic, another person. We're going to be, I think, staying contemporary for the next one as well. And then we'll go back to the olden days.
Can't give a hint?
No.
No?
No. No.
Can I guess?
Oh, no. What are you going to say? Don't say Hitler.
No. Like contemporary.
Yeah.
He a Terminator?
No, it's not him. No, I have to read his book first, and then we'll go down that route.
Get in the chopper.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be that guy.
Ah, okay.
I know. Soon though, he'll be up in a few months. All right, so please rate and review, 5-star reviews only, because I'm highly sensitive. Thank you to the 24 countries that are listening to us.
I give you 5 stars every day.
I know you do. This meal is 5 stars. Fantastic. Really like what you did with the spetzel. And then please check out the Frau Batsby Instagram. Follow it. Follow us. And yeah, I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Anything to add?
Nope.
Just bye-bye. Bye-bye.